something else. The Fox,
your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The Fox.
Well, what will we talk about today? Oh, gosh, how much time do we have? Just 2 hours? Oh, that's a shame. Hey, friends, welcome to a Let's Talk program for a Friday morning. Scott Giese with you, and yes, it's just me today. Now, hopefully you'll join me on the phone a little bit. That'd be very nice. Our guy, the Ironhead, Jeff Byers, he's doing that wrestling stuff. All right? He's doing wrestling stuff. Penn State at Drexel tonight. Oh, that's going to be ugly. Come on. If you're a wrestling fan, you know what I'm talking about, right? It's going to be ugly. And then he actually has some other wrestling something or other to do on Monday. So he'll be back on the show on Tuesday next week, where it should be a little warmer, all right? But going into a weekend, actually it's not a bad morning today. Going into a weekend, we got a open line program, and again, seriously, folks, I've got enough stuff I could talk until tomorrow, all right? I could do like they do in Congress when people want to just stop and hold things up. You know, members of Congress get up in front of the mic, and they just start talking, and they talk for hours, and they talk for hours, you know, this filibuster crap, you know, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I'm not doing that. The show's only 2 hours. But there's a lot of stuff to go over. And so, we could start right now if you want. 814-954-7266. All right, if you'd like to chime in on the obvious subjects, I've got those. Maybe not so obvious, but ones that we really should be, paying attention to. And we'll dive all into that. And 2 hours of fun. All right, here we go. All right, so first off, a little cold last night, depending on where you live. Again, it was crystal clear last night. Remember that big full moon was just gorgeous last night, right? And early this morning. At my house, at least, 6 degrees at, sunup or so this morning. Six. Now, by the time I took that, 6:30 this morning, I guess, by the time I left my house to come to the studio this morning, it was already up to 10. All right. So the six didn't last that long, but whoo, hopefully your heat works just fine last night. Otherwise, a little chilly. Weather-wise, it's going to be a chilly day. Probably should get up into the 20s. It'll be up into the, I think, mid-30s this weekend, so not that exactly that's a heat wave, but compared to 6 degrees, that's not bad, okay? Could we maybe get some snow next week? If you check weather forecast, again, this all drives us a little crazy, doesn't it? The advanced weather forecast, like a week down the road. And anymore, right? These weather apps, they go 2 weeks down the road. And I just don't quite understand why they even bother trying, because far more often than not, they're not right. The advanced weather forecast just isn't. Now, I'm being a little picky there, okay? It's like, okay, a lot of snow, little snow, 35 degrees, 30 degrees, yeah, okay. It's just not right. And at one point, we were supposed to get snow next week. Now I'm checking, not so much. I want to see if it changes again in the next day or two. Oh, snow's back. We'll have to see. But anyway, keep warm. It is warming up this morning. All right, not that bad. Yes, later on, we'll talk about the Penn State football coaching search. The never-ending saga. It's like a different day, different guy. Different day, different guy anymore, right? How many names have been eliminated from the list? A lot. And they've all gotten raises. Have you noticed that? Somewhere here I've got that statistic. Somebody did the math about all these guys who, at one point were rumored to be considered for the Penn State job. And if I assume this is accurate, all right, somebody did the math and added up all these different coaches who have since re-upped with their current school. I guess, or maybe it was a coach or two that actually took another job, and okay, what's that guy making now, and stuff like that. According to the source, if we assume it's accurate, the total is $370 million. Where's my bell? Let me grab my bell over here. There are a lot of college football coaches across America that are a lot richer today, or will be, because of this little sojourn that we've been on the last number of weeks. $370 million in raises, I guess. Yes. Again, I've mentioned before, all of those guys, all right, all these coaches that re-upped with their school and got a raise and so on, they owe us, don't they? Don't they? They should be sending State College a thank you gift. Now, we had that story this week, BYU's coach, and again, I was really scratching my head, like, him? Good guy, right? Nothing against the guy, but it's like, him? Okay, where'd he come from? And sure enough, BYU went to the bank. Maybe that's the Mormon church, I don't know. They went to the bank, got more money, threw it at the guy. Yep, I'm staying, you know, that sort of thing. But again, if somehow you missed this, some, I don't know, online person, somebody with a podcast or something, to BYU fans essentially said, you know, hey, we should, I don't know, do something for State College. And he offered the State College Food Bank, our friends there, about making donations. And now I haven't gotten an update on this number, but I'm going to assume at this point over $5,000 worth of donations to the State College Food Bank from outside the area. Apparently tied to this guy who's online with a podcast or something telling his listeners or viewers or whatever, hey, you know, do this. And like 150-some whatever people did. And so the State College Food Bank, they're ringing the bell. It's like, yes, we just got an extra $5,000 of contributions. That's phenomenal. Okay, that's great. Now, that's just regular people. I'm talking about these coaches now making millions more dollars than they were a few weeks ago. I think they owe us something. All right, so if those coaches happen to be listening, they probably aren't. Come on, guys. We just got you a nice fat raise. Why don't you give a little bit back to the community that gave it to you? Ring the bell. All right. We'll touch more on that. By the way, Iowa State's Matt Campbell is now the coach du jour, the coach of the day. Let's see if Iowa State goes to the bank, finds money, and throws it at him. Literally today. Let's see if that happens. So watch your news, watch your sports news and so on to see if that actually occurs. Folks, I got some really strong thoughts on that. I'm going to save it for later. All right, I'm going to save it for later, so don't go anywhere. Stay tuned. Again, so many different things here to talk about here. I mentioned this yesterday, and I'm just going to do a little bit here, and I'm going to save this for a little later on. I had this at the very end of the show yesterday. If you listened yesterday, we had two guests, lots of things to talk about. Just sort of ran out of time on this one. And I think I'm going to reach out to these folks today to see if we can get a guest. We've had them on before, our friends from FIRE, which is the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression. They're based down in Philadelphia. It's all about free speech with them, and especially college free speech. They've been following this for years. Every September, they come out with their college free speech rankings. And frankly, the great majority, I mean, what is it, about 250 schools, I think they chart or track or something. And the great majority of the schools, in their opinion, get an F for free speech. All right, that's kind of interesting. But they had a release a couple of days ago. And when I first read this, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Followed by, please tell me this is not true. But I trust these folks. This is their specialty, free speech. And they're researchers, and they dig really into this stuff because obviously they want to be accurate. And so when they came out with this, I'm like, are you kidding? So if you missed the very end of yesterday's show, here's the crux of their release from a couple of days ago. I'm reading right from the release. According to new FIRE research, these folks, a shocking 91% of college undergrads believe that words can be violence. Now, let that sink in for a moment. First off, the 91% part, which is stunning. They use shocking. I'd use stunning. I could use other words. 91% of college students, undergrads, 91% of college students believe that words can be violence. Now, the follow-up line here in the fire release, and I'm just reading here, he says, here's why that's a problem. And in bold letters here, when people start thinking that words can be violence, then violence becomes an acceptable response to words. Would that not be true? Yes, common sense. And of course, right off the bat, bam, Charlie Kirk. What happened to him back in September? All right. Charlie Kirk was all about words. He asked questions. He challenged people sometimes and all that sort of thing. And then some guy finds a weapon, and we know what he did back in September. And there's some other, I'm going to hold this till later. There's some other statistics here that'll just, you hear this stuff and we assume it to be true, that it's like, okay, this is a real problem, and it's probably a real problem on every college campus in America, and it's a problem that we, the collective we've got to find a way to stop this, all right, because this is really bad, all right? Things have gone, one of my favorite lines, is it possible to go too far with something? Yes, it is. All right, this is like the poster boy for that one right now, so I'm going to hold that thought till later on. And then if you want to chime in with your own thoughts, then all right, that's fine. By the way, the Fire Group, if you're not familiar with them, I think they're great. They are very unbiased. They are absolute nonpartisan, which today seems to be a bit of a rarity. Nonpartisan means this year, this calendar year, there have been instances where they stood up for somebody on the political right that was having their free speech, you know, shot down, like the Charlie Kirk situation, I suppose. They've also stood up for people on the political left that they are saying, hey, their free speech rights were violated or knocked down and so on. And yes, they've gotten complaints about both sides. Conservative people, what are you standing up for that guy on the left? Well, because it's free speech. Why are you standing up for these people on the right? Because it's free speech. Very nonpartisan group. Again, they're based in Philadelphia. I'd love to go down and visit these folks sometime, see their operation. Good stuff. Actual good stuff. There it is. Speaking of colleges, let's see if I can find this story about a recent story about college completion rate. All right, this is from Higher Ed Dive, which is a website that follows higher education. And they had a story came out actually just yesterday. College completion rate holds steady above 61%. Now, you might think, well, that doesn't sound very good. I won't argue with you, okay. This is, it says here, students who entered college in fall of 2019. So they're looking at the last 6 years of information. Because, I don't know, the four-year degree is an old idea. It doesn't really take four. It takes five. It takes six in some cases. So they're looking at statistics for kids who have been in college for the last 6 years. 61.1% earned a degree, a credential, within 6 years. That's according to the National Student Clearinghouse Research Center. Now, that is a shade lower than it was before. It was 61.4%. Now, here's what's interesting. I mean, there's some really good stuff in this story. The newest college data showed that full-time students faced better odds of graduating than part-time students. Isn't that interesting? All right. Let's see. For full-time students, the number is 67.1% will graduate. Full-time student. That's all they do. Student, you know, kind of the standard college student. Meanwhile, for part-time college students, now I don't know, that might be more like adults, like older types, the graduation rate drops all the way down to 34%. And so I saw that. I'm like, whoa, that, ooh, hello. That makes me think, you know, the push, if you will, that, you know, people should go back to school and get a degree and all this sort of, okay, that sounds great, but only about a third of people who do that actually finish. That doesn't seem that great, does it? Doesn't seem very efficient, does it? I don't know, that, you know, if you're listening to me here and you're a part-time college student, are you gonna stick with this thing? And apparently two-thirds, the answer is nope. Ooh, okay. Penn State, are you seen these numbers? That's not very good. I mean, you want to look for an area of improvement? You want to hold on to students, which every college does now. Oh my gosh, they desperately want to hold on to their students. Well, you got some areas that you need to kind of shore up. All right, let me throw out a personal opinion. Now, this is at the high school level. All right. Your friend Scott here, I've mentioned a million times, I'm from Penns Valley. A very, very long time. I've actually known this since early this week, that Penns Valley School District's superintendent, Brian Griffith, who is an acquaintance, a friend, announced he's actually going to be retiring. Now, this is something that we've actually kind of known for many months. We knew that Dr. Griffith was about to hang it up, and he announced earlier this week, okay, I'm going to be retiring in April. Now, even if you're not from Penns Valley, all right, what's unusual about this, by the time he finishes in the spring, he will have been Penns Valley superintendent for the last 18 years. Now, folks, in my old job, I work primarily with schools. Somebody serving as the superintendent of a school district, just one, for 18 years is unheard of in this day and age. It just doesn't happen. I mean, if you follow local schools, I mean, State College, you know, 2 years, 3 years, 2 years, 2 years. I mean, my friends from Baldy Galeria, they had two superintendents in the span of a year a couple years ago. If you're from Bald Eagle, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, they had two guys in the span of 1 year. It's like in the front of the administration building, they have a revolving door. It just spins. All right. And just most schools, anymore, I don't know, it's the world of education today, I don't know, they do not hold on to a superintendent. Penns Valley, Dr. Griffith, 18 years, again, I don't know, he should get an award or something from that, maybe he will. I mean, I would love to get some statistics from around the state. I mean, literally, is there another superintendent anywhere in Pennsylvania who has been the super for the last 18 years? I would almost bet money, almost. The answer is no, probably not. Now, all right, I'm going to be harsh here, and I'm going to make an enemy. Hey, sometimes that happens with this program. Never intentional, just kind of happens. There's a taxpayer group in Penns Valley. They seemingly complain about everything, and they put signs up. So you're driving down Route 45, there's a big sign, and there's another sign. And for years, a number of years, they've been complaining about Dr. Griffith's salary. He's the highest paid super in Centre County by a significant margin. Oh, that's terrible. That shouldn't be happening. Well, if you had a job for 18 years and you did it successfully, and I would say Dr. Griffith absolutely has done his job successfully. Penns Valley, the school district, is in a good spot right now. They're in a good spot financially. Their buildings are doing good. They've made the appropriate, you know, changes and improvements and all that sort of thing. It's been a little while, but academically, I could argue, sort of, that Penns Valley punches above its weight when it comes to academics. They are very well rated academically among other schools in Pennsylvania. Last time I checked, I mean, there are over 500 public school districts, or no, there are 500 public school districts in Pennsylvania. There are over 500 high schools, okay? Well more than over 500. Penns Valley was in the top 70, according to one ranking. That's pretty darn good for a rural school district. So I will wish my acquaintance, my friend, Dr. Griffith, now he still has a few months to go, You know, congratulations and job well done. Again, for the taxpayer group, if you want to keep complaining and sniping, obviously I can't stop you, but it's misguided. And when the new superintendent comes in, guess what? That person will start at the base salary, which I guess will make you happy. Yay! Sometimes, folks, we argue about the wrong things. Just a thought. All right, let's see. What else real quick before we take a break? Oh, breaking news. Breaking news. Just this morning. All right, for those of you that are big into movies and entertainment and so on, Warner Brothers Discovery has been for sale. And there have been a number of suitors out there trying to buy them. Well, apparently the winner is Netflix. Netflix is going to buy Warner Brothers Discovery. Whew, $83 billion? Yo, that's a lot of money there. Now, if you follow entertainment, of course, Warner Brothers, big name. The movie, all the movies, you know, the production company for film, for television, HBO Max is pretty popular. That's part of Warner Brothers Discovery. Assuming this actually does happen, that will make Netflix the world's biggest paid streaming service. All right. I know some of you out there, you probably love Netflix. You go home in the evening after work, whatever, on comes Netflix for, I don't know, Stranger Things. I've never watched that show. Or some of these other, you know, things. I'll be honest, at my house, we have Netflix. All right. I think my wife checks it out every now and then. I'll be honest, I don't. I just don't. I watch other stuff. And if this actually, happens, it's finished and so on, what we're seeing with this and a lot of other industries, right? Consolidation, consolidation, consolidation. Fewer players, fewer players. Now, necessarily, is that a good thing or is that a bad thing? It could be argued both ways. I mean, Warner Brothers Discovery was kind of just hovering out there. Something had to happen with these folks. It just wasn't working for them. All right, let's sell the company. Well, Netflix is going to buy it. Netflix, very popular, very successful, and so on. But over a course of years, if we have fewer and fewer and fewer players in certain industries, like entertainment in this case, is that a good thing? Is that maybe leaning a bit more toward sort of the monopoly idea, not the game? The idea that all the pieces are kind of under one person's hands. Yeah. All right. So in the long run, if you're a Netflix subscriber, let's see if, first off, we're assuming this deal goes through, and then see, I don't know, next year, probably almost certainly Netflix will raise their rates. How much will they raise their rates? Keep in mind, this deal is supposed to be $83 billion with a B, dollars. That's a chunk of change. How's Netflix going to pay for that? Think about it. All right. So if you're a Netflix subscriber, you might be saying, I'm not sure I like this deal. Okay, Warner Brothers movies, great. That's nice, but watch out. Streaming, again, was like the thing several years ago, right? I mean, that's what I do in my house. We stream, all right? Satellite dish got ridiculously expensive. I got rid of that. And we decided to go with streaming. Now, right now, streaming is still a lot less expensive than what I would have had if I hadn't changed. But have you noticed those streaming costs going up and up and up? And folks, they only go one direction. All right, whoop. And so it may take a couple years. It may take several years where streaming is pretty much what they were doing with cable and satellite and all this other stuff. And you and me, it's just, hey, pull out your wallet. That's the way it goes. All right, we're going to take a break here. We're going to come back. We have our sports segment. Oh, lots of sportsy stuff beyond just coaches. And then later on, we'll have open line time. Yes, I've got some, I'll call them rather strong thoughts about the Penn State football coach situation, debacle, whatever you want to call it. All right, that's up to you. Healthcare, I've been promising this for a while. I've got the perfect example why healthcare in this country has got to change, and it needs to change pretty soon. I've got the evidence for you, so stay tuned for that. And the fire stuff, this free speech stuff with college kids, I mean, this... I'll read the whole thing to you later on. It's like, okay, we have got to be doing something about this. This is not good. All right, we'll take a break. You're listening to Let's Talk here on 98.7 The Fox on a nice warm morning. Just play along. We will come right back.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox. The Fox Sports Weekend.
Is your Sunday home for the National Football League. All of the big teams.
Spins into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Big names.
Burrow throws over the middle into coverage, and it is caught. Unbelievable.
It's the NFL. Sundays
on Central PA Sports Authority.
The Fox Sports Weekend. Sports Radio 98.7. The Fox. Fox Sports.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home. Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House. A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania. The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, and did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of five themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox and State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
I really can't stay.
But baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go
but
away.
But baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has
been hoping that you drop
so
in.
Very nice.
I'll hold your hands, they're just like
my
ice.
My mother will start to.
Do you remember a few years ago when this song was just absolutely demeaned? This is the original Dean Martin version. Because of one lyric in this tune that some people, one man's opinion, completely took the wrong way. This is a tune that actually, I believe, goes back to the late 1940s. And it's a flirting song. That's all it is. Just flirting.
Mind if I'm moving.
At least I'm going to say that I try.
Oh, for goodness sakes. Is it possible to go too far with something? Yes, it is. All right. You're listening to Let's Talk here on 98.7 The Fox. Scott with you this morning. Again, the Ironhead Jeff Byers has some wrestling calling to doing tonight. Penn State at Drexel. Ooh. That's going to be ugly. We're going to have some open line time a little later on. Get ready. All right? If it's free speech for college, if it's health care, if it's, of course, Penn State's football coach and this and that. All right. We got that coming. All right. Let's do our sports segment here. Now, it's interesting. Normally, my buddy Jeff here, he's the one that does the sports segment, and he puts it together and does a great job. He always leads with Penn State stuff. When I'm sitting in the chair, when I can, I like to lead with the high school stuff. So we're going to start with the high school stuff. There we go. So let's see. Start with basketball last night. Belfont boys unfortunately lost their season opener. That was to Huntington last night, 66-58. Girls basketball, some games tonight. Belfont girls on the road at Richland. Penns Valley also on the road at Chestnut Ridge. A couple of long road trips there. St. Joe's is going to host Indiana. All right, now that's a road trip for Indiana. All that action should be getting underway tonight at 6 o'clock. High school wrestling. All right, here we go. Where's Jeff? He likes this. State college wrestling team lost their season opener at Central Dauphin last night, 46-18. The Little Lions got some bonus point victories from Luke Young, James Whitbread, Teague Sanderson, and Noah Williams. The Belfont wrestling team had a real tussle last night with Huntington. Unfortunately, they dropped that one. That was on the road at Huntington. Final score 29-25. Penns Valley had better luck against a larger team. They defeated Mifflin County last night, 47-16. Rams got won them all but four, which is a good night for PV. Rams got wins from Evan Lasowski, Connor Myers, Max Dingus, Eric Carlisle, Trip Watson, Braden Lasowski, Cale Smith, Shane Rimmey, and Robert Martin. So we are PV. Let's go Rams. All right. Good for them. All right. Let's switch over to Penn State. Yeah. The coach du jour, as I like to call it, is now Matt Campbell. All right. He is the head coach at Iowa State. He is apparently now the primary target for Penn State. Campbell has guided Iowa State for the last 10 seasons, a record of 72 wins, 55 losses. He coached at Toledo for 5 years prior to that. Multiple media reports. Now, again, after these last few weeks, it's like, are you sure? Multiple media reports say the two sides are in discussions. They met yesterday. All right, this is best, especially on social media. This is big right now. Kalen DeBoer yesterday. Now, that's Alabama getting ready postseason play. Some reporter yesterday asks him, hey, what's about these Penn State rumors? And he's like, no, we're happy here. We're not doing that. Which, if you common sense, following this at all, like, yeah, there's been no interest. Like, why you keep floating my name? That's what he should have said yesterday. Why you keep floating my name? I'm happy here at Alabama. You know, SEC championship, playoff, all that stuff. I'm not going anywhere. Yeah, no kidding. Oh, surprise, surprise. Not really. Terry Smith, Penn State's interim head coach, allegedly is drawing some interest from some other schools. Two mentioned are Connecticut and Memphis. So could that lead to something? Well, maybe. Either this weekend or definitely on Sunday, we'll find out what bowl game Penn State's going to play. And again, 6-6 team. This is not going to be some Giganto Bowl or something. It's going to be one of the minor games. I'm going to still say it again. Penn State Pitt. That would be a game with actual meaning, really, I think, for both teams. Now, will it happen? Pinstripe Bowl or okay. Sit tight. We'll find out this weekend. All right, the Big Ten handed out its offensive awards for this past season. Penn State running back Catron Allen, a unanimous selection to the All-Big Ten first team. He is the first Nittany Lion to earn that recognition at running back since a guy named Saquon Barkley. Remember him? That goes back to 2017 now, so well-deserved. Way to go, Catron. Nittany Lions guard Vega Ioane is a first-team selection. Not a great surprise there. He is the first Penn State guard to earn first-team honors since John Urschel. That's going back to 2013. Several other players got honorable mentions for Penn State. Running back Nick Singleton, tight end Khalil Dinkins, offensive lineman Nick Dawkins, Drew Shelton, and Nolan Rucci. I'd say all deserving. Big Ten Offensive Player of the Year, no surprise. Fernando Mendoza, the quarterback from Indiana, who every time I've seen this kid on TV, I'm like, I like this kid. He's good. Now, what's interesting is he's played in Indiana for 1 year. He was elsewhere last year, hit the portal. Get ready for that phrase, folks, hit the portal. I think Penn State fans, you're going to be hearing that phrase a lot. All right, so get ready for that. Again, big weekend for college football. Conference championship games, and then on Sunday we find out the 12 teams in the college football playoff field. Big Ten championship game tomorrow night. Of course, it's Ohio State and Indiana. That's an 8 o'clock game, by the way, tomorrow night. Big, big game. It's going to be huge. SEC championship, Alabama. Kalen DeBoer, a little busy. Alabama and Georgia, that game's tomorrow at 4 p.m. our time. Big 12 championship, Texas Tech and BYU. That game will be at noon tomorrow. Texas Tech has already beaten BYU once this year, so they're the favorite in that one. The ACC title game, again, is interesting. Virginia against Duke. Yeah, Duke, with a 7-5 record, is in the ACC championship game. Okay, Virginia Tech all of a sudden not looking quite as daunting as you might have thought. Just a thought, throwing it out there. The two other, by the way, Duke and Virginia is tomorrow night, same time as the Big Ten game. Two other championship games that could be interesting. The American Athletic title game is Tulane against North Texas. Now, that game's actually tonight. Could the winner? Well, we'll see. The Sun Belt Championship has James Madison and Troy. Could that maybe have an impact on some things? Stay tuned. We'll see. Penn State women's volleyball team, NCAA tournament action tonight. The Nittany Lions are an 8 seed. They're in the Austin, Texas region. Tonight, Penn State will take on South Florida. Actually, I should say this evening they'll take on South Florida. That starts at 5:30 our time. Penn State is 18-12 on the season. South Florida is 17-12 on the season. But still, Penn State, I would say, is a decided favorite in this one. If they can win, all right, more than likely, they're going to take on the host team, number one seed Texas. That would be a tall order. That would be, I don't have a time, that would be sometime on Sunday. So stay tuned. We'll see how that goes. It's been pretty highly touted for women's volleyball. Penn State has competed in every single NCAA tournament. I mean, that's 40-something years. That's amazing. That really, really is. South Florida is making their first tournament appearance in 23 years. By the way, I said Sunday for Penn State, if they can win tonight. It's actually tomorrow night. Got that wrong. It's supposed to be tomorrow night. Texas will take on Florida A&M. Again, Texas a gigantic favorite in that matchup. So we'll stay tuned. Penn State wrestling team has their second dual meet of the season again tonight. That's where the Ironhead is. They're in Philadelphia against Drexel. That matchup will get underway at 7:30. And then Penn State comes back home at Rec Hall on Sunday afternoon. Their longtime Eastern rival Lehigh comes to town. That matchup at Rec Hall Sunday will start at 1 p.m. About some basketball, Lady Lion basketball team. They begin Big Ten play tomorrow against Nebraska. That'll be here, Jordan Center, 1 p.m. Penn State 6-1 on the season. Nebraska not bad, 8-0 so far. So that should be an interesting matchup. Nittany Lion basketball team. They also open up Big Ten play, but not until Tuesday. That will be at Indiana. All right. And again, we mentioned, if you follow this, Penn State's first five Big Ten opponents are all ranked, the top 25. They're all ranked, all five of them. Like, whoo, that's a murderer's row right there. Holy mackerel. There are some other big games in men's college basketball, if you're interested in this. Number 4, Duke, will visit number 7, Michigan State. Oh, that's a game. That's tomorrow at noon. Number 1, ranked Purdue. At home with number 10 ranked Iowa State. That is also tomorrow at noon. Number 22, Indiana. At home with number 6, Louisville. That'll be tomorrow afternoon, 2:15. Number 14, Illinois. Will be at number 13, Tennessee. Got some good matchups here. That's tomorrow night at 8. Also, Wisconsin at home with Marquette. Ohio State is at Northwestern. Rutgers visits Michigan this weekend. Maryland goes to Iowa. USC hosts Washington. And UCLA will entertain Oregon. All right, Penn State men's volleyball coach Mark Pavlik has announced he is retiring at the end of this current season. Pavlik is the fourth winningest coach in men's college volleyball history. He has an overall record of 694 wins, 241 losses. The Nittany Lions have won 25 EIVA titles in his 32 seasons. He's been named the EIVA Coach of the Year 10 times. And again, I don't know, this is a Penn State thing? The next men's volleyball coach, will be just the fourth in the entire history of Penn State men's volleyball, which goes way back. How about that? Pavlik and his team will open up his final season. Now, this won't be until the new year, January 8. The Nittany Lions host Mount Olive, so we still have a wait to go for men's volleyball, but that'll be coming up in January. Penn State track and field teams in Philadelphia today and tomorrow for the Penn opener. Indoors, of course. That'll be at the Ott Center. The Penn State fencing teams will be competing at the Carla Mae Richards Invitational. That's at Brandeis University. That's up in Boston. That event will be on Sunday. If you watch pro football last night, Detroit Lions, a good win for them. They outscored the Dallas Cowboys 44-30. Jahmyr Gibbs, he's good. Three touchdowns running. Jared Goff threw for over 300 yards and a score. Dak Prescott threw for 376 yards and a touchdown, but also, ouch, a couple of interceptions for the Cowboys. The Lions are good. We thought they'd be maybe better than this. They're now 8-5. Remember, they've got a game with the Steelers. Not this weekend, but coming up. Cowboys are now 6-6-1. The Steelers, yeah, they've got the Ravens Sunday at 1 o'clock. Both teams 6-6 on the season. Both teams, I would say, expected to be better than this at this point. That's a huge game. For a pair of 6-6 teams, isn't that weird? Huge game on Sunday afternoon. The Eagles back in action on Monday night. They'll be in L.A. with the Chargers. Philadelphia will be without defensive star Jalen Carter for a while. Apparently he had a procedure done on both shoulders. Yikes. Okay. Lane Johnson also missed practice for the Eagles yesterday. Let's go to hockey, where the Pittsburgh Penguins, yes, picked up a really big road win, actually, over the Lightning in Tampa Bay last night, 4-3. Geno Malkin scored two goals, had an assist to lead Pittsburgh. So the Penguins now kind of up and down. They're back into third place now in the Metropolitan Division. Next game will be in Dallas against the Stars. That will be on Sunday evening. Philadelphia Flyers back in action Sunday afternoon. They will take on the good Colorado Avalanche. That's a 1 o'clock face-off on Sunday. And in pro basketball, the Philadelphia 76ers held on last night to beat Golden State 99-98. Tyrese Maxey, is that right? 35 rebounds? I wonder if that's a typo. Dominic Barlow had 14 rebounds to lead the Sixers. Philadelphia, okay, 12-9. They will visit Milwaukee tonight, and then they will host those Lakers on Sunday night. All right, and that is your, well, for now, it's your sports wrap-up, because we need to take a break right here. We come back, we'll have open line time. Okay, we'll lead with the Penn State football coach. But again, we got some other things definitely want to touch before the end of the show. And hey, I'd love your calls on these or other subjects. So get ready. We'll do that in just a bit. You're listening to Let's Talk here on 98.7 The Fox. Welcome right back.
We don't just talk sports. We live it. Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
Hi, listen, if you're considering an assisted living facility for yourself or a loved one, it's important that you choose a highly rated facility. And Celebrationville of Nittany Valley is one of those facilities. U.S. News & World Report 2025 ranked Celebrationville of Nittany Valley as the best assisted living facility. Now that's a great accolade. Celebrationville of Nittany Valley specializes in enhanced personal and memory care. Located in State College, from the moment you arrive, you'll find your or your family members' needs are met with the utmost attention and mindfulness. Nestled in a quiet, modern setting, Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley offers a warm and friendly community that's close enough to town to keep you or your family member connected, yet far enough away to provide that peaceful country feeling. For details, go to CelebrationVillaOfNittanyValley.com. That's one word, CelebrationVillaOfNittanyValley.com. Or call one of our friendly staff members for leasing and sales. Call 814-235-7675. Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley.
When winter is at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
Be a part of the best event of the winter, Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with sci-fi and fantasy fans from across the region. If you're a vendor of anything looking to reach this energized audience, open space is currently available. Go to happyvalleycomiccon.com, click on the Vendors tab for information. Reserve your space today and get ready for a weekend of action and profit. happyvalleycomiccon.com, click on the Vendors tab. Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center.
Join us for the Goon and Ironhead Show, Tuesday and Thursday afternoons from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Goon loves Philadelphia sports, I love Pittsburgh sports, we both love Penn State sports, and we both just like talking sports, and you never know where the discussion will take us. That's part of the fun. Join us for the good times, Tuesday and Thursday afternoon from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel.
But a house is a home. Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House.
A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania.
The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, and did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of five themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
Grandma got ran
wait a minute here. I mean, I know a lot of folks like to do their own version of favorite songs. This apparently is a punk rock version.
She's been drinking too much eggnog. And we begged her not to go.
Okay, we've got a punk rock version of Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. Where on earth did that one come from? Hi, friends. Scott here with you on a cold Friday morning. Hey, we're trying to warm things up by playing punk rock music. Okay. Let's talk here on 98.7 The Fox. Again, Scott with you. Our guy Jeff Byers down in Philadelphia. A little Penn State wrestling tonight. He's a little busy. That's perfectly fine. He'll be back actually on Tuesday because he has some other wrestling something or other on Monday. Oh, that's fine. Folks, this is where I'd love to get some calls. I've got enough material to go to this afternoon. I said tomorrow. That's an exaggeration. It's this afternoon. I'd like to hear from you. All right. 814-954-7266. Either chat on what I'm going to bring up here or bring up your own thing. That's perfectly fine. Let me start real quick with a couple of other sportsy things, and they're both sort of tied to football. All right. First off, the PIAA championship games, high school championship games, started yesterday. And the 1A game, somehow Bishop Guilfoyle got there again. Now, BG is BG. They're phenomenal. BG, all right, I got to see them up close. They played Penns Valley in the season opener this year, and they were good. Now, granted, it was the very first game. They were good, but I'm thinking, boy, I was kind of expecting more. Now, I will assume they got better as the season went on. Unfortunately, yesterday they ran into Clairton. Clairton is back at single A. Yeah, the Clairton Bears, they won, all right? 35-3 was the final score yesterday. Ooh, so welcome back, Clairton. In 4A action, it was Southern Lehigh is the state champ. There we go. They beat Twin Valley yesterday, 43-21. So that's the 4A level. Now, remember, there are six levels, 1 through 6, and they play two games a day. So two yesterday, two today. They have two tomorrow. The games later today, the 2A game, Southern Columbia, which they might as well just build a house there because they go back every year, for goodness sakes. Southern Columbia against Farrell. That should be a really good game. All right, we'll see what happens. That's 2A. And then in 5A, all right, State High fans might be familiar with Bishop McDevitt taking on Roman Catholic. That's the 5A game later today. Might be tonight. I don't have a time here. And then the two games tomorrow in 3A, Northwestern Lehigh will take on Avonworth. That's 3A. And then in 6A, LaSalle College, that's a high school, LaSalle College will take on Pittsburgh Central Catholic. Now, State High fans should definitely remember Pittsburgh Central Catholic because they dispatched State High, unfortunately, a couple of weeks ago. So those two games are both set for tomorrow. And then the other football, the round ball version, the Men's World Cup draw is today down in Washington, D.C. The U.S. is a host for the event next year, along with Canada and Mexico. It's kind of a North American thing there. Allegedly, President Donald Trump is going to be there for this gig. I don't think the guy's a soccer fan, but okay, whatever. The World Cup draw, if you're not familiar, is a big, big, big deal. I mean, this will be like headline news all over the world today to figure out, okay, you're in pot 1, 2, 3, 4, you're in which group, who are you going to play, which group is the so-called group of death, in other words, the hardest group to get out of, and so on. Okay, so stay tuned. If you're a soccer fan, and doggone it, I think it's after lunch today. I don't have a time here. This will be, like I said, headline news probably everywhere else in the world except here, even though the U.S. is a host. All right, so again, World Cup draw to see which group the U.S. team is in, who they're playing, and so on. Should be interesting, all right? All right, Penn State football coach. Yeah. Coach du jour, again, is Matt Campbell of Iowa State. And I mentioned earlier, okay, let's wait for the story today. Iowa State's going to make a trip to the bank, get more money, and then go back to their coach. Campbell has been the coach at Iowa State for 10 years, so he's not like he's not a, you know, in and out kind of guy. And I have to assume Iowa State's going to throw money at him because they had a good season this year. They probably, you know, 10 years, they'd like to keep him. We've seen this how many times over the past several weeks? Hey, here's this guy. Oh, he re-upped because they got more money. Hey, is this guy? Oh, he re-upped because he got more money. Again, folks, these coaches owe us. They owe us big, don't they? Oh, they're getting big fat paycheck raises. They should send a little bit our way. Let's see. Let's see if even one of them has the guts to do that. I'm being dead serious. Let's see if one of them has the guts to do, you know, sort of like what the BYU fans did this week. Now, that was fans, not a coach. See what the BYU fans did. Come on, kind of match that. Maybe not. All right, State College Food Bank was the lucky recipient this week, and that's great. There are plenty of other recipients, aren't there? Yeah, obviously in the neighborhood, you know, this and that and so on. come on, guys, you're making big bucks. You can cut us a check for something as a thank you for helping you get a nice fat raise. Again, let's see if any coach, any of them, has the guts to do that. Anyway. Let's see, what else? Micah Parsons yesterday endorsed Terry Smith. You know, came out on social media, says they should be going with Coach Terry. A lot of other people, of course, saying going with Coach Terry. Again, if you're on social media, this is going in all directions. There are folks that they think Pat Kraft, athletic director, he's a genius. He's playing chess. He's being patient. He's waiting for May, probably for these conference championship games this weekend, because allegedly maybe somebody who's going to be busy tomorrow, he might want to kind of tap on the shoulder like, hey, come on over here, all right? Penn State got a big opening here. Come on over. Well, I guess we'll find that out, I don't know, Sunday, Monday, you know, that sort of stuff. That, you know, Kraft is a crafty, bad pun, crafty genius. Then there are the folks that feel the opposite, all right, that this has been totally snarled. What the heck is he doing? There doesn't seem to be a plan here. We've had name after name after name, and, of course, raise after raise after raise, that you've got a guy that everybody seems to really want, and he's sitting right over there in Lash Building. He's right there. And he's come out and said, yeah, I'd actually like the job. Players, all for him. A growing number of fans, all for him. And yet, not happening. Now we get, you know, yesterday, well, Connecticut and Memphis are two schools that might be interested in hiring Terry Smith. Well, first off, that doesn't surprise me at all, all right? If Terry does get overlooked or passed over or whatever, if you were in his shoes, or his cleats, maybe, if you were in his cleats, and all of this has taken place, and he was the head coach for six games, they won three of them. Frankly, they came oh so close to winning two more. They were really only out of one game, and that was the second half of the Ohio State game. That's the only game they were really out of, or the span of time or whatever they were really out of. That's it, right? Second half of the Ohio State game in Columbus. Otherwise, Penn State, very, very competitive over this stretch. Competitive against Northwestern. Competitive, again, UCLA, like, whew, what? All right, all that sort of stuff. Has Coach Smith done enough to back up his claim? Yes. Yeah, come on. Nobody can argue this. You can try. If you call in, 814-954-7266. All right, call in and argue that. Matt Campbell, okay. I don't know Coach Campbell. I don't follow Iowa State football, obviously. Good season. Not super stellar or anything like that. I mean, we're asking this question. He's the guy? It's kind of like the BYU fella the other day. He's the guy? And there have been a couple of other names. He's the guy? Meanwhile, you got this fella sitting over here who had success, and everybody seems to be behind him. Why hasn't this happened yet? I made my bold prediction, oh boy, a couple of weeks ago. I really, thought, okay, if he wins the Nebraska game, now we're going back a little bit, that should be enough. Name him as the next head coach. Well, of course, it didn't happen. Yes, the defense against Rutgers was not that great, but they won the game. That's the key element. They won the game at their place. And so he's done enough. Now, again, so many people out there are surmising. I mean, it's going crazy. It's been going crazy. I had a friend this morning send me a YouTube link. What did we do before YouTube? Anyway, YouTube link to some guy. I don't even know if I'd call him an expert. I don't know who this guy is. But apparently this guy, this young guy, got a hold of an audio recording of a meeting that Pat Kraft had with Penn State players. And it's one of these so-called hot mic moments. Okay. And this guy in his YouTube video is trying to break down what really was discussed in this meeting. Now, in true YouTube fashion, this video is 35 minutes long. No, I did not watch the whole 35-minute piece. This guy, he's like breaking this down like sentence by sentence. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this is overkill. Come on. This guy could have made his pitch and made his point in like 10 minutes. All right, he could have, but he drags it out for 35 minutes. Yeah, okay, whatever. Anyway, the whole piece does not make Pat Kraft look good. It just doesn't. And allegedly, a lot of players are disgruntled. Tony Rojas, again, somebody, just an opinion, somebody really needs to pull Tony aside. Like, Tony, bud, why don't you get off social media for a few days, all right? He's a pretty active fellow on X Twitter, as I call it. And his comment yesterday, quote, "We stand with Terry or nobody else. That simple." I'm like, whoa. Ooh. Okay. Whoa, look out. Seriously, I mean, one of the assistant coaches maybe needs to get on the horn with Tony today. Like, Tony, bud, you're not making it any better for yourself and maybe for us. Why don't you just, go take a vacation for a weekend or something. Just leave the phone at home or in your room or whatever. Just put that back. Don't do that. Okay. I've been thinking about this for a long time. Let's state some opinions, and then we'll take a break. And if you want to chime, I'd love that. That's great. This is Scott. I'm 62 years old, so I'm not a youngster. I used to be on the Penn State football beat from 1985 through 1998. All right, that's been a while, but I've been on the beat. And so I know the basics, and some of the basics haven't changed. All right. Of course, that's the Joe Paterno era. And there are a lot of us, I think a growing number of us, that look back to the Paterno era. And it's not nostalgia per se. It's not a yearning for the past or so on. But what about, and I've stated this on the show a bunch of times, and it makes me angry. When I look at the last, it would be 13 years, and how, this is an opinion now, okay, at how this university, I mean, the football team is part of the university. I'm thinking about the university as a whole, and not the regular folks. I'm talking about the people at the top. How they continue to just run away from the Paterno legacy. And it obviously it's still the stain of the Jerry Sandusky situation. Now, folks, if you're a regular listener to this show, we've had guests on this. There are a growing number of people saying, we really need to go back and take a look at that. And Jerry Sandusky is asking for a new trial. Will he get it? We'll see. We've had guests, you know, about that. If you go to our website, 987thefox.info, go to the Let's Talk interview section. We got a big long list of past shows, actually, from the last several months on there. Got to do some house cleaning sometime soon. Scroll down a bit. Find some of those interviews that have something to do with the Sandusky story and people who've investigated it and all this sort of stuff. John Ziegler, Frank Parlato, and so on, all the talk. Our buddy the Ironhead, this is one of his passions. All right, if you are a relatively new listener, this is one of his passions. Jerry Sandusky did not do the things he was purported to do all those years ago. And his trial was a sham in 2012 because it was rushed, like, hurry up. Okay, you're guilty. All right, go to jail. All right, and the unbelievable amounts of money that Penn State threw around to people who now appear to be rather extremely disreputable. That whole situation was, it wasn't a nightmare. It was a clown show is what it was. And Joe Paterno is now, without doubt, there is no doubt, it doesn't matter what the snipers on social media think. Joe had, no matter what Jerry Sandusky did or didn't do, Jopa had nothing to do with any of it. Not involved, not connected. That one famous incident where somebody said, hey, Coach Sandusky was doing something in a shower, he had a boy there. Well, a lot of scuttlebutt, okay, what was going on, all right? And they reported it to Joe. And again, at this point, Sandusky's not even a coach anymore. He's just like a visitor. Come on, he was a big name. He was a famous name, very successful defensive coordinator. So he was there. And so a coach, Mike McQuarrie, reports this to Joe. And, Joe was raked over the coals. Oh, he didn't do enough. Bullcrap. He did exactly what he was supposed to do. He called the then athletic director, Tim Curley, to say, hey, somebody's telling me this. Somebody needs to check this out. It wasn't Joe's job to check it out. Never was Joe's job to check it out. All right? Hold on. There we go. Caller, hold on. I'll get to you in just a moment. This university seems to be running away from the Paterno legacy, and they keep running away. James Franklin, as far as my opinion, ran away from it, which was a mistake. Now, if it was all the Sandusky tint and all this other crap, don't listen to the snipers. Social media always has snipers. All right? Ignore them. They're snipers. We know who they are. These are people that are jealous or idiots, so they don't have a life, and they get on and they swear and they make snide comments. It's crap. Ignore it. Means nothing. Now, Pat Kraft, it appears, wants to get an outside guy. Like, he wants to essentially, you could say, clean house and sort of start over because it's all about the championships that we need to go win. And, you know, if you remember famously, Coach Smith wore that button on his coat, Joe 409. All right, he did that for a reason. The idea is, instead of running away from the Paterno legacy, we need to connect with the Paterno legacy, because that is what made Penn State football great. Why are we still running away from this? Now, I'm going to, before we take our call, and then we have to take a break, I'm going to make this. Somebody's going to be really angry, but I feel this way. If Pat Kraft actually, he wants to run away again from the Joe Paterno legacy, when the giant majority of Nittany Nation, we don't want that. We want the connection. Terry Smith, obviously, would be the connection. All the players, all the former players, all the fans that have been saying, come on, do this. If Pat Kraft continues to say, nope, getting an outside guy, we're going to get away, not doing anything with the Paterno legacy, then my thought is he should start looking for another job today. That's one man's opinion. All right, if that's how Dr. Kraft feels, that, nope, we got to go outside. We got to start all over. The past is the past. That's done. We're not going to deal with that. We're not going to dwell on that anymore. That's old news. Not doing that. If he actually somehow feels that way, then my thought is he needs to start finding another job today. And Old Main, which has been conspicuously quiet, needs to maybe step in on this saying, okay, this is getting out of hand now. Now, that's one man's opinion. We'll see where this leads. Before we take a break, let's take a quick call. Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Yeah, I don't know if I can make it quick, but I'll make one point. So when the defensive coach, Jerry, was recognized as the best defensive coach in the country, he was, everyone thought maybe he would become the head coach, but then I forget the conditions, but he retired. He was out.
Right, 1999, yes.
And coinciding, was it 99? Okay. But my coinciding was there were these kind of allegations, you know, that bubbled up. But then I think even our county attorney, he investigated, but they said, well, there's not enough here to take it to trial. You know, so there were always just bubblings, but they didn't go forward with it. But I always thought it was interesting. Penn State probably did what it could do, and it was always interesting. Well, here's a guy that could have been the head coach, and then now he's retired. So I'm wondering if there were some behind the scenes, they shut him the door, you know, because there were those ongoing investigations, but they were decided there was not enough evidence.
I remember all that stuff. I mean, when Sandusky suddenly retired at the end of the 99 season, a lot of people were surprised. Like, whoa, where'd that come from? Why?
Well, I think Penn State is a private institution. I know we like to be public-private, but they on the private side, I think they showed them the door.
That could be. That could be.
All right. I guess I'm getting that they did all they could do because there was no legal. And then, of course, you know, what was it? 10 years later, I forget now. 15 years later, to have a sham trial does no one any good.
Yeah, he deserves a retrial, and I think a gigantic number of people are in agreement with that. He deserves a thorough retrial. And if anything, it would take some serious guts if Old Main would stand up and say, you know what, we agree with that too. Let's make sure Sandusky gets a retrial. And if he's actually guilty, then we end this right here. Boom.
Yeah, because what you lose is a society based on law. Not about Sandusky or Paterno. We're talking about sacrificing law. And that's what I'm getting at. Maybe we should just stop calling it the Joe Paterno era. Maybe we just say, hey, Joe was a Brown graduate. He was a classicist. He believed in virtues. And so let's take Paterno out of it. Can America embrace virtues again? Can we return to an appreciation of classical study, literature? And I know the history of that. Penn State kind of, like most universities, they kind of walked away from the liberal arts back in the late 70s. But lo and behold, Joe, what was he hired in the mid-50s?
Well, Joe was originally hired in like 1950.
Yeah. So here's a classicist who kind of lived beyond his years. The rest of the university moved on. I don't know where we moved on to. Technocracy, engineering, you know. But, boy, I think there's a place for liberal arts on the campus again. And Joe kept that alive. I mean, that's who he was. So, So maybe we don't have to personalize it as Paterno. Maybe it's more about, you know, classical view, Gestalt worldview, and virtues and all that stuff.
Yeah, it could be. All right, we got to take a break. Appreciate your call. All right. Thank you very much. Got to take this break. We're way off here. We get deep into these subjects, and, yeah, we kind of lose track of time. The commercials got to be played. Now, stay tuned. More thoughts, maybe some more of your calls. I definitely, before we wrap up, I got to read this thing from Fire, because it'll make you pay attention. Like, they really think that? You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We'll come right back.
Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Fox Sports.
Bigger and better than ever, it's the 2026 Happy Valley Comic Convention, February 28th and March 1st at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with special guest Tricia Helfer, the gorgeous Cylon from Battlestar Galactica, and Tracy Coco from Star Trek, along with actors from Pokemon, Dragon Ball Z, and other Japanese series. Collectibles, discussions, artist costume contest, and much more. Get your tickets starting now at $8 at HappyValleyComicCon.com. Kids 10 and under free on Sunday. HappyValleyComicCon.com. Made possible by a grant from the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub, right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate happy hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
When winter's at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The Foxy
Knowledge.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer.
Let's go for the original.
Walking home from our house Christmas Eve.
Not the punk rock version.
You can say there's no such thing as Santa. But as for me and Grandpa, we believe.
There we go. All right, now we're back to, I don't know if we can call that Christmas song normalcy or not. But hey, it's a popular tune this time of year, right? So there we go. Let's talk here for a Friday. Scott with you. Again, our buddy Jeff Byers busy in Philly with some Penn State wrestling tonight. I guess the only question in my mind, will they get another shutout tonight? Because, again, this team is like, whoa, ding, ding, ding. Where's my bell? There we go. That's my only question tonight. It's not the win. We already know which side's going to win. Is it going to be another shutout tonight? Well, all right, we'll see. 814-954-7266. I just, again, as a longtime Penn State fan, I just scratch my head continually. Like, and again, it's not Penn Staters, it's Penn State leadership that seemingly continues to run away from the Joe Paterno legacy. Why? Is it all just the Sandusky thing? I mean, is that it? Is there something else? If it is something else, I'd love to know what it is. And it's a mistake. All right, this is a team searching. Actually, not just a team. This is a team and a fan base, and I could say a university searching for something. And it's crazy because the answer is right there. All right? I fault the university on this one. Why do they continue to run away from the Paterno legacy? Now, students don't want to do that. Fans don't want to do that. They want to connect again with the Paterno legacy, which was a legacy of greatness. All right, they didn't win the national championship every year. Big deal. Highly respected. Built Beaver Stadium. The whiteout. The whole nine yards that led to $100 parking spaces. And, you know, this refurbishment of the stadium, $700 million worth over these next two more years. That stuff led to this. All right, and yet we continue to not acknowledge where this came from. Joe Paterno was one of the greatest people, A, in the history of this university. And for some reason, that rubs some people the wrong way, which is bizarre. Because, again, you know, our caller was talking about a classic education. All right, that was Joe, right? The grand experiment. Now, that goes back, late 1960s, I guess it was. But it was something that people really grabbed onto. Success with honor. And for the most part, that's what Penn State football did that whole stretch of time. Now, could I find, oops, that kid shouldn't have done that. Oops, this kid over here. Yeah, of course you can. You could do that with probably any group. Somebody kind of goes off the track. This kid goes off the track. Okay, that didn't work. But over and over and over again, it did work. And yet, for some reason, we still, and I say we, leadership still will not acknowledge this man. Which, for fans, probably for, maybe even for players, the frustration level is like above my head now. Like, you have the answer, and it's right in front of you. Terry Smith is the person that seemingly everybody wants to have chosen, should have already been chosen as the Penn State football coach. Why are we still doing this? I mean, I think Ironhead's mentioned this more than once. All right, hire Smith. You know, give him a couple of years. And if somehow it doesn't work out, okay, you go find somebody different. In this day and age, that is not unusual. Now, at Penn State, it's a bit unusual, okay? Again, they have loyalty to coaches. Now, granted, we like them when they win, okay, and have great success. Last hour during our sports segment, Mark Pavlik, the longtime Penn State men's volleyball coach, has announced, okay, this is my last season. Gonna hang it up. Time to retire. And for him, we applaud him. He's had tremendous success for Penn State men's volleyball over, three decades now. All right. Joe, obviously, was part of Penn State football for over 60 total years. Wow. And I could look at some other, coaches out there. Penn State has always had sort of a loyalty thing. All right. They just don't hire and fire coaches. Some other schools do that. We've seen that, right? Hire and fire, hire and fire. Penn State doesn't do that. To their credit, all right? They don't do that. I mean, frankly, could James Franklin have been fired a few years ago? Yeah, maybe. Could have been. I was thinking about this the other day. Remember the 2020 season? Now, that was the COVID season, all right, which was giant asterisk next to that season, all right? Just remember 5 years ago, everything was bizarre. Just, I mean, we look back at that time like, what the hey were we thinking? We say we again, not we, certain people in positions of authority. What on earth were they thinking? Whew. Let's take lessons from that so God forbid if this ever happens again, we learn from our past mistakes. But if you remember the football season in 2020, at one point it wasn't even going to happen. Remember that? Oh, no, can't have people, 6 feet and all that baloney. All right. And the Big Ten started, nope, we're not playing football this year. People were horrified. Meanwhile, SEC and some other places started playing football. Now, empty stadiums, remember how bizarre that was? Why was that crazy stuff? And the Big Ten essentially, I would say, got shamed. Like, okay, everybody else is playing. Why are we sitting? Okay, let's play. And they started belatedly to play. And if you remember, Penn State started 0-5 that year. Remember that? And we're like, what the heck is up with this team? Oh, I mean, they were losing to teams they had no business losing to. They were 0-5. Now, again, it was weird because they're playing football in front of empty stadiums. Nobody there. And if you wonder if that has an effect, all you've got to do is take a look at the 2020 season and do a study on that. And you find out, yes, this absolutely has an effect. If this place is empty, Beaver Stadium, if this place is empty versus 100,000 people sitting here, yes, that makes a difference. Okay? Penn State started 0-5. And I guess I've always wondered, why was James Franklin never really questioned? What the heck is up with your team? They're 0-5. Come on, they should be doing way better than this. Forget COVID and 6 feet and all this other baloney. All right. Now, granted, Penn State rebounded and won their remaining games that year, but it was all, you know, by the boards. He went 0-5, and I'm wondering if that had happened in 2025, gone. Well, that's pretty much what happened, right? Lose three games in a row, gone, boof. So, you know, James Franklin, where is this? James Franklin had a quote yesterday, because obviously he's at Virginia Tech. Everybody loves him down there, which is great. That's wonderful. That's awesome. Okay? And so, you know, down there, and he's doing what he does. He talks. He talks a lot. He talks every chance he gets. Which is too bad, because we invited him to be on this show multiple times over the last 2 years, and we could never quite reel him in. I don't know why. All right? We're such friendly folks here, but whatever. So, and he's pulled over a lot of former Penn State recruits that switched to Virginia Tech. Okay, no surprise there. None. These are guys that they love Coach Franklin. He says all the right things. And he had this comment because somebody asked him, hey, are you poaching Penn State? Now, that's a legitimate question. Are you poaching Penn State? Now, this was his answer. I'm going to read the quote here. Quote, I want to make sure that this is interpreted right. By no means were we out looking to take commits from any specific school. It really just came down to the kids that we've had relationships with, that we've known for multiple years. That's really what that was about. Unquote. Okay, that sounds right. Obviously, when you do recruiting, it's not a one and done. It's over a period of, if you do it right, it's over a period of years during a kid's high school career, at least, I would say 2 years at least. And again, Franklin, great recruiter, great talker, talks up the parents, you know, all that stuff, which is great. That's great. That's, you know, it's what you're supposed to do, okay? But come on, if you were in his shoes with what has happened over the last couple of months and you get a new job somewhere, don't you maybe have sort of a chip on your shoulder saying, okay, I'm in a new place now. I know what I'm going to do. We need some good players here, and I know where to go find them. I mean, come on, really? Common sense. We'd all do that, wouldn't we? Of course we would. Now, he's not going to come out and say, I definitely, because of what happened, I poached those. No, he's not going to come out and say that. But it's understood. If you're a regular listener to this show, we've talked about this a lot. You know, Coach Franklin, good man, good guy. I liked him. He talks too much. All right? And that's great, but it all comes down ultimately to the performance on the field. James Franklin, not a good game football coach. He just isn't. We've talked about it for years. The Virginia Tech fans are about to find out. Now, was it yesterday? Yeah. Our buddy the Ironhead had a great analogy when he mentioned Andy Reid. All right, if you're a pro football fan, you know him. Andy Reid was the coach of the Philadelphia Eagles and had success there, but just not enough. And it just got to a point where for Reid and the Eagles, this isn't happening anymore. We need to part company. And so they did. Now, some people were very upset about that. Andy Reid goes and gets the job with the Kansas City Chiefs. Look at the Chiefs in recent years. The best team in football. They've won Super Bowls or played in Super Bowls. It worked for Andy Reid to make that change. Good for Andy Reid. Meanwhile, the Eagles had their changes. They've won 2 Super Bowls in recent years. It worked for the Eagles. Great. So, in other words, both sides won. Great. Let's hope that's the situation here, that James Franklin goes to Virginia Tech and has success in the ACC, which is not nearly as good as the Big Ten. Come on, you can't deny that one. All right, just saying, all right. And now the question there is, will Penn State rebound? I simply think, this is, again, one man's opinion before we take another break, if they would make the connection with the paternal legacy, which everybody else wants, the players, the fans, probably the donors, people out there with big checkbooks that could help out with that $700 million tab. All right, yes, they've gotten some money this year from deep-pocketed people. Great. That's one. That's awesome. That's really great. They need a whole lot more. And I keep hearing over and over, there are some either Penn Staters or Penn State-connected people. They've been sitting on their wallets and checkbooks for a long time, waiting for this university to finally begin to acknowledge Joe Paterno and all the things he did, not just for this football team, but what he did for this school. If there are any students listening, Penn State students, all right, I hope you do, go to the library, the Paterno Library. How many football coaches fork up, I don't know how much money it was, millions and millions of dollars, to build a library at their school? How many football coaches do that? It's an extremely short list. Joe and Sue, tremendous backers of this university. All you got to do is take a look at the time span from like the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s into the 2000s and all the ways that this university expanded and grew and improved in so many different things. I mean, science and the College of Ag and extra things they were doing and research and all this stuff. A lot of that is tied to Joe Paterno. The success he had here, the pride he brought that people felt, and his emphasis on, yes, the classroom, the grand experiment, success with honor, all that stuff. Somewhere out there might be a story or survey or something of Penn State lettermen, and they cannot be happy. They're not happy that Joe has been snubbed for all these years. And here is the opportunity to make the connection back to the tremendous, unprecedented Paterno legacy. Terry Smith is that connection. He clearly wants it. He's made that really obvious, all right? Without coming out and saying it in so many words, he's made it really obvious how he feels. And a giant majority of Penn State fans agree with him. You've got your guy. He's right there. He's had success. He will keep the locker room. It will not just obliterate here over the next several weeks with the transfer portal coming up in a month, roughly. All right? It will not obliterate. You bring in an outside guy, I can guarantee it's going to obliterate. That guy's going to have to start from scratch. Now, granted, we got this transfer portal. Kurt Cignetti used it amazingly well in the last 2 years. I mean, Indiana was a nothing 2 years ago. Give Cignetti and his staff full credit. They've pounded the transfer portal, and they've made it work. Now, maybe that's what Pat Kraft's seeing. He's like, well, if Cignetti can do it, we'll just find some other guy that can do that. There it is. We're Penn State. We've got money. We got Beaver Stadium. We got the whiteout. We got all this stuff. Okay, we can bring in anybody. Really? Are you sure about that? And it's still this idea that the paternal legacy is like it didn't exist, which is insane. For those of us that are older and younger, make the connection, finally, with the paternal legacy. Terry Smith should be the next coach. He's earned it. Forget this outside crap. One man's opinion. Forget this outside crap. For the here and now, it's Terry and this current team. Again, hit that transfer portal because you got what? What was the number? Two recruits this week? Two good guys, but two. It was, what was it, 17 or something at one point? They got two. Okay. Have you seen the Penn State football schedule for next year? It's not exactly what you would call daunting. All right? Ohio State's not on there. Indiana's a power now. They are. Indiana's not on there. Oregon's not on there. Michigan is back. USC is on there. But still not, I would say, terribly daunting. So what drives, I think, a lot of us crazy is the pieces are all right there. Terry Smith, coach, keep the guys, cool off Tony Rojas, and start, not necessarily call it a rebuild. It's more of a shift. Start the shift. But then make that connection with the paternal legacy, which is what Nittany Nation wants. It's time. It's past time. If you want to come out smelling like a rose on this one, the roadmap is right in front, and yet for some reason we're going to take this road over here. I'm going to take a break. All right? We come back. If you want to chime in, I'm going to move on to some other topics. But if you want to chime in on this, I'd love to hear from you. We'll get the phone number in a moment. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
Kevin Harlan here from Monday Night Football on Westwood One. Join us all season long for primetime action on the road to the playoffs and Super Bowl 60. Each week, Hall of Fame quarterback Kurt Warner and I will have the call of great matchups, along with Mike Golick, senior and junior, in the studio. Don't miss out on the great NFL tradition that is Monday Night Football.
Catch all the action all season long. Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox. Looking for something different, but you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox and State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
All right, you chipmunks, ready to sing your song?
I'll say we are.
You're familiar with this one, right?
Okay, Simon.
Okay,
Theodore.
USA Today has a story this week, the 10 worst Christmas songs.
Alvin!
This is number one. Number one worst.
For toys and fun, for cheer, we've been good.
Folks, I don't. Do you agree? All right, that's enough of that. I don't know if that's the worst Christmas song. Now, again, maybe you feel differently, but that's number one on USA Today's list. Now, Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer is number two. Oh, that's sacrilege. All right, come on. I'm reading from this website. The tale of an elderly lady getting steamrolled by Rudolph because she drank too much eggnog and forgot to take her meds. Well, yeah, that makes the song funny. Do these people not have a sense of humor? I mean, some of these songs I've never heard of. Jessica and Ashley Simpson, The Little Drummer Boy. If I've ever heard that one, I don't remember. New Kids on the Block. Remember those guys? They had a Christmas song. Oh, it's good the Ironhead's not here. Number six on the worst list is Dominic the Donkey. That's one of his favorites. Oh, that's outrageous. We're going to move on. Let's talk here for a Friday morning. Scott with you. Again, Jeff away today doing some Penn State wrestling type stuff. He'll be back. Actually, he'll be back on Tuesday. All right, so stay tuned for that. In the meantime, open line time, 814-954-7266. What do you think? All right, what do you think? I think Terry Smith should be named the head coach. It's way overdue. It should happen on Monday. Monday. Let's get these championship games out of the way. Allegedly, there might be something there or not on Monday. And again, I've made the case. Now, I'm not the only one. A lot of people have made the case. Like, what the heck are we thinking? Not we. What the heck are they thinking here? Pat Kraft knows, and yes, he is being raked over the coals on social media. Oh my gosh, gigantic. Yeah, there's one person. Yeah, he's playing chess. He's cagey. Okay, I guess we'll find out this weekend, because after this weekend, there is nothing else. It's allegedly one of those coaches. Oh, in a big game. Okay. Well, we'll see, but still, caller, hold on, we'll get to you in a moment. This idea, we have to bring in an outside person. Why? Why? So that we can continue to run away from the paternal legacy, which is stupid. One man's opinion. Let's take a call. Good morning, you're live on Let's Talk.
I enjoy listening to you, and you're absolutely correct in everything you're saying.
Wow.
It almost seems like to me, I don't know who and who at that university is running things, but it seems like they're just trying to give Penn State the death penalty again. I mean, you fire Franklin in the middle of the season, and now you look back and you have $100 parking. You have nobody in the stands for your final game, but yet all your player, not all, some of your good players, some of your good commitments are leaving, and where are they signing? With Virginia Tech. Now, is that not the coach of James Franklin, and was he not the coach at Penn State? He may have ran into hard times with the team and with, you know, some tough part of a scheduling. And do I believe that Terry Smith should be the president or the coach? Yes, I unanimously agree he should be. He's a Penn State person. He knows the system. He knows the kids. Bring them in, put them in there, and let's go down the road. Because if not, you're going to have less and less people in the stands. Your parking is going to be $200 to pay for the stands that you're building. To me, it's just ludicrous. Put the statue back up. Give Joe Paterno the fame and distinguished honor that the man has given that university. Like I said before, he was loved, feared, and hated. And some hated him, some feared him, but most of them loved him.
Especially,
have a good day.
Especially his players and fans. Yes.
Yes, they did. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for your call. Yeah. Again, eventually the dust on this will settle. Now, the question is, will it be a lot of dust or a little bit of dust? I mean, it's been fascinating to follow this. Now, some folks say this has been a total screw-up. Some folks are like, well, you know, maybe this was by design. He's got his mind on a certain guy. We've mentioned, you know, Marcus Freeman from Notre Dame. You know, well, we'll find out this weekend if Notre Dame's in the playoff or not. There's a possibility they may not be, depending on some of the different results tomorrow. Tonight and tomorrow, actually. And now that's scuttlebutt. Remember, Kalen DeBoer was scuttlebutt for a while. Oh, he's not happy down there. Remember, he comes out yesterday, a reporter pops the question. He's like, no, we're happy here. I've never considered moving, ever. And I believe him. He's never considered it. I'm like, well, no kidding. He's at Alabama, like one of the premier college football programs. Why would he leave Alabama to go to Penn State? Now, yeah, the Alabama fans have been a little tough on him because they haven't been stellar like under Nick Saban, okay, which is really, to my mind, again, no surprise. When you follow, if you follow a Joe Paterno, if you follow a Nick Saban, that's a tough act to follow, right? I find it interesting, real quick, because we're going to take a break, and I got this other fire thing I've got to go over. Bill O'Brien, everybody remembers him, right? All right, coach at Boston College. BC was terrible this year. They were 2-10. 2-10. Now, if any, you know, fireable, you would think, yeah. BC instead, maybe somebody just said the right things. They've doubled down, and so they're keeping O'Brien. And also investing, they're going to hit the bank and invest a whole lot more money in Boston College football. Because that's the reason, well, maybe it is. You know, again, we're in the NIL era now. Money, 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 in all directions. Blah, 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 blah. TV deals, la, 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 la. Okay? They're keeping, I'm actually surprised, they're keeping O'Brien at least for one more season, and they're going to dump more money. Maybe that, you know, Coach O'Brien probably said, look, we're just not competitive against these other teams. We've got to get more money so that we can be more competitive. And apparently the BC leadership said, okay, we agree. Let's do it. Boom. So a 2-10 coach is keeping his job. All right. Well, we'll see how Coach O'Brien does next year with lots more money. All right, we're going to take a break here. We'll have one more segment. Now, we'll have open line time if you want to chime in. I have got to go over this stuff about this fire survey, which, again, and we have an open line show again on Monday. We might bring it up again. Folks, this is something all of us, and I mean it, all of us really need to pay attention to. This is some actually serious stuff. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We'll come right back.
We don't just talk sports, we live it. Sports Radio 98.7,
The Fox.
Hi, listen, if you're considering an assisted living facility for yourself or a loved one, it's important that you choose a highly rated facility. And Celebrationville of Nittany Valley is one of those facilities. U.S. News & World Report 2025 ranked Celebrationville of Nittany Valley as the best assisted living facility. Now, that's a great accolade. Celebrationville of Nittany Valley specializes in enhanced personal and memory care. Located in State College, from the moment you arrive, you'll find your or your family members' needs are met with the utmost attention and mindfulness. Nestled in a quiet, modern setting, Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley offers a warm and friendly community that's close enough to town to keep you or your family member connected, yet far enough away to provide that peaceful country feeling. For details, go to CelebrationVillaOfNittanyValley.com. That's one word, CelebrationVillaOfNittanyValley.com. Or call one of our friendly staff members for leasing and sales. Call 814-235-7675. Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley.
When winter's at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
Join us for the Goon and Ironhead Show, Tuesday and Thursday afternoons from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Goon loves Philadelphia sports. I love Pittsburgh sports. We both love Penn State sports, and we both just like talking sports, and you never know where the discussion will take us. That's part of the fun. Join us for the good times, Tuesday and Thursday afternoon from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Be a part of the best event of the winter, Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with sci-fi and fantasy fans from across the region. If you're a vendor of anything looking to reach this energized audience, open space is currently available. Go to happyvalleycomiccon.com. Click on the Vendors tab for information. Reserve your space today and get ready for a weekend of action and profit. happyvalleycomiccon.com. Click on the Vendors tab. Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center.
I don't have a pear tree at my house. I do have a peach tree and an apple tree. I like those two. I have no idea what a turtle dove is. One of the more interesting Christmas songs, all right? The 12 days. Well, we're not up to the 12 days. By the way, the 12 days of Christmas are supposed to be the 12 days after Christmas, not before Christmas. A lot of people get that wrong. It starts day number one, the pear tree, is Christmas, and then 12 days after that. That's the 12 days of Christmas. Did you know that? All right. Here, see, you learn things on this show today. All right. We got just a few minutes. I got to go over this. And again, Monday, I'll be here again, and we'll have an open line show, and I might delve more into this. This research from FIRE, the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression, is something that we've got to pay attention to. So they got a release from them a couple of days ago. Once again, unbelievable, 91% of undergrad college students believe that words can be violence. Words equal violence. And then their follow-up line, which I agree with 100%, when people start thinking that words can be violence, then violence becomes an acceptable response to words. And yes, Charlie Kirk. Here's a guy who used words. He asked questions. He talked to people. Sometimes he challenged people. That's it. Now, I just remember, I still remember a lot of the reaction from some people after that, essentially celebrating him being murdered. Oh, we took him out. Oh, he was a threat. And all the ridiculous comments made about Kirk that are just wrong, just totally inaccurate. Oh, he's a racist. He's a homophobe. He was none of those things. He was somebody simply asking questions, and he wasn't afraid to challenge. In other words, okay, you feel a certain way, back up your case. That's it. And so, folks, we're going down the wrong road here. There's a line here from, again, FIRE's release. Rather than seeing words as violence, Americans should recognize that words are their best alternative to violence. Yes, where's my bell? But somehow young people are not getting this? Here we go, other findings. Again, I'm reading right from the release. Half of students, this is college students, half of students say they are less comfortable attending or hosting controversial public events on their campus after what happened to Charlie Kirk. All right, that should surprise nobody. Yeah, I can understand that one 100%, which is not good. Reading again. Moderate and conservative students became significantly less likely to say that shouting down a speaker, blocking entry to an event, or using violence to stop a speech, that is acceptable. So according to their research, with so-called moderate and politically conservative students, fewer of them say that's acceptable behavior. For whatever reason, politically liberal students, for those things I mentioned, their support is the same and maybe even went up. Oh, boy. So there is a widening gap between politically conservative students and politically liberal students. Now, apparently there are some things they actually agree on. Well, kind of agree on. Again, I'm reading from the release. 53% of students say that political violence is a problem among all groups. Now, it's interesting. Apparently, I guess it was a separate survey. 35% of all Americans say that political violence is a problem among all groups. So 35% of everybody say it's a problem. 53% of students say it's a problem. So where is the problem? The problem is probably among adults leading these students or showing them in certain directions. Think about that for a moment. You know, we want to, and I've done it, I've been guilty of it. You know, we point the finger at these college students like, what the heck? What are these boneheads thinking? You know, rah, 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 that kind of crap. Sometimes we kind of maybe take a step back and in some cases maybe look in the mirror. Now, when I say we, who are the people that are leading these students in colleges and how are they reacting in certain things? Again, I remember two things, the certain reactions to what happened to Charlie Kirk. I mean, not good things, essentially celebrating his assassination. And, of course, this court case is going on right now, this Luigi Mangione guy that cold-blooded shot down this healthcare executive in New York City and then went on the run. Remember? And they picked him up at a McDonald's in Altoona, wherever he was allegedly headed. His court case is kind of going on right now. Do you remember some of the reactions after that cold-blooded, he shot him in the back, and they have it on video. Boom, there it is. Cold-blooded murder. Do you remember some of the reactions from some of the people? Yeah! That healthcare, he deserved it. He deserved to be murdered. And a lot of this was not from young people. A lot of this was from so-called adults. We've got some folks that, I mean, somebody listening to my voice right now, if you actually believe some of this stuff, maybe professional help is needed. And I'm not being flippant when I say that. I'm being serious. Maybe professional help is needed for you because that is not the answer. That is only going to make the situation far, far worse. And now we've got college students saying this. 91% of undergrads say words are violence. No, they're not. I've mentioned this before. I think it would be great in this town if we had some public debate series like spring and fall. We'll do it at the State Theater if they're willing to have it. I'll moderate. I'll volunteer to moderate. And we have a couple of questions, and we bring folks from, like, both sides of an issue, and we have an audience there acting respectfully, and we debate it on stage. We ask questions. We exchange information. No name-calling. I think that would be an amazing series of events every, like, March or something, and maybe in October or something. And get coverage of it. We need to have more conversation, not this stuff. Okay, I'm done. Take a breath. Hey, folks, it's going to be a nice weekend. Get out and enjoy it. We'll be back here Monday morning.
Sports Radio 98.7, the Fox. Fox Sports. The Fox Sports Weekend.
Is your Sunday home for the National Football League. All of the big teams.
Spins into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Big names.
Burrow throws over the middle into coverage, and it is caught. Unbelievable. unbelievable.
It's the NFL. Sundays
on Central PA Sports Authority.
The Fox Sports Weekend.